You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Double team you like we would if you were in the studio.
Got it.
Okay. First, first of all, give me a spelling on your first and last name, please, just so we have that on the tape.
GRAHAMEBURROW.
Okay. And your title?
Global President, Magna Exteriors.
Okay. And Magna is one of the sponsors of the event tonight?
We are a sponsor at the event tonight, and we are here to present an award to the outstanding achievement of one of the students at LTU who participated in our design competition.
Okay. And how many students participated?
We had 11.
Okay. How long have you been doing this with LTU?
Actually, this is our first one with LTU. We've done it before with some other schools, but first with LTU, and very pleased with the way that it went here.
Okay.
And we're thinking about doing more in the future.
Okay. And what were you after in terms of the designs?
Well, we assigned a project to the 11 students that really challenged them to look at the exterior of the vehicle in a different way for the year 2030.
Okay.
And we challenged them to think about everything from appearance to color to finish, materials, think about lighting.
You're still blinking, so you're not recording.
Well,
no. There you go. There you are.
No, I am. Okay.
All right.
Okay. But I didn't ask any questions.
Okay.
We asked them to think about what kind of gadgets and features could be integrated into the exterior, because we look at the exterior of a vehicle as really a canvas for artistic and engineering ideas to come together. And so really after that, it was up to them to come up with a theme and create a personality for the consumer and then build and design that car for that personality. So we saw a wide range of ideas from all-terrain vehicles, multi-use vehicles, sports cars.
I was going to say, you didn't go after just one kind of car, right? You left that open.
It was open to the students. So it was interesting. And you know, all 11 themes were different. So it was a lot of fun, actually.
All right. And the winner was, drum roll, please.
The winner was Dylan Kane.
Okay.
And the title for his concept is 30 Degrees West. 30 Degrees West is a unique vehicle that was designed for an adventurous photojournalist in 2030, the vehicle capable of navigating all corners of the earth. And he really did a great job of integrating some unique features into the exterior. An on-demand automated ladder system to give the user access to the entire vehicle, top, side, bottom. As well as a deployable utility drone that actually is integrated into the exterior but can be deployed for multiple purposes as the driver needs to.
Oh, okay. So the drone was a small flying vehicle then that kind of came out of the car?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So very futuristic, but at the same time, very plausible. So I think that's one of the reasons why we're really excited about his design and one of the reasons why he won.
Let me ask you, obviously very futuristic kinds of things, but what do you as a professional, and we were talking about, 13 years from now, what do you think the cars are really going to look like? I mean, will it use some of these features that you're seeing from these students, do you think?
Well, I think it's as I said, it's very plausible that some of these features and gadgets will be a possibility. We'll see them in the future. It really depends on the needs of the consumer. But it's not that far away that we see this automation. You know, there's a lot of talk about the autonomous driving vehicle, and a lot of technology is evolving around that concept. But, when you think about lightweighting, the advent of more and more plastic in vehicles, And that's certainly every year more and more of the vehicles is less steel, more plastic.
Or aluminum, for that matter.
Or aluminum in some cases as well. So I think it's amazing what these kids come up with. It's amazing how realistic and doable these things are, and I really think we're going to see some of those features on cars.
Let's talk a little bit about the autonomous vehicle. Matt and I have had multiple conversations with multiple people about this topic. I am more of a, I'm a skeptic. I know it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as everyone's talking about. I'm thinking more like 10 years, 15 years. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, nobody knows, and I would think that it's an evolution. And, you know, there's technology today that will give you some autonomous features for the driver if he or she decides to use them. The evolution will be slow. I think regulation will keep it under tight controls. But when you look at the geofences that are needed in the cities, for example, to allow autonomous vehicles to function safely, and to get the passenger where they want to go, it's going to start off small. We're seeing that today with companies like Google and Uber. They have a few vehicles out there today that are doing it. So will it become mainstream in the next 10 or 20 years? I think we're at least 20 years before you or I could go into a dealership and actually buy a fully autonomous vehicle.
Well, you say, take me home, and it does, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what parts of the auto industry Magna is most involved in now. I mean, obviously exteriors, but you know, what could I look at a car point and say Magna made that?
Well, you can look at a lot of components on a car and say that Magna made it. Exterior, seating, stamped metal products, powertrain systems. We're really growing our electronics business now. When you look at the connected car, when you look at ADAS or autonomous software. Cybersecurity is a big topic in our company right now. So these are all things that are underway. All of our business segments are growing. And to say, you know, we're more excited about one than the other, I couldn't make that comment. But, you know, the businesses that we have are doing well and they're growing. So we're happy with that.
And how big is Magna in the U.S.? How many employees here?
In the U.S., I actually don't have the figure on top of my head. So
okay, not a problem. We can find it.
Yeah. We'll work around that, Dave.
That's why we have Colleen.
Yeah, I'm downstairs. I'll get it for you.
All right, cool. All right. And talk a little bit about propulsion systems. Everybody was all excited about, you know, electrics, hybrids. Then the bottom fell out on the price of gasoline, and, you know, people sort of went back to gasoline. Where do you think that's headed?
Well, personally, I think the technologies are very important to us, whether you're talking about electric vehicles or hybrid electrics. And I think the technologies will continue to improve. When you think about, you know, the miles that you can get out of a charge today, it's really becoming very attractive to
250-ish in the ballpark now.
And certainly in some cases over 300. So that will continue to improve. And I think there's a point where a lot of people will start looking at it seriously to know that they can go great distances without having to plug in their vehicle. So the price of fuel is an important, is a relevant point here, but there's more to it than that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. We've been talking to Graham Burrow, who is the global president of Magna Exteriors, who has sponsored some awards tonight at this what do we call this?
The main event.
The main event. Thank you.
And that's Motor City Auto Industry Networking. It's actually an acronym. So.
Got it. Okay.
You could even capitalize it with AP style if you want to.
Perfect. So, All right. And this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. All right, Carl.
Carl Dobman is the new dean of our College of Architecture and Design at Lawrence Technological University. Carl, you've been with us now how long?
6 months? Seven months?
Okay. Yeah. Great. So tell me a little bit about how the transportation design program at Lawrence Tech sort of folds in with the rest of the College of Architecture and Design.
I guess I keep describing it as a kind of ecosystem of design. We've got everything from designing cities down to designing objects, designing experiences and games and interaction and transportation. So we've got a range of students and a range of disciplines, which is super exciting to me.
Okay. And talk a little bit about how sort of the manufactured product aspect of transportation plays as opposed to design. Well, I guess houses are obviously manufactured too, but it's a different kind of manufacturing. It's more of a large, big plants, that kind of thing, not like somebody building a house.
Right. Well, I think we're looking at that from all sorts of things. There's an emerging culture of DIY and 3D printing and personal manufacturing all the way to much larger scale manufacturing. So even when we look at architecture, we're thinking about manufacturing in very different ways now than we were before. And I imagine those same type of innovations will also, or we're looking at different types of innovations in all sorts of ranges of manufacturing, whether that be cars or buildings or even smaller electronics or products.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your background a little bit personally as a designer. How did you, get into doing what you're doing?
Oh, there's a range of things. I'm trained as an architect. Mm-hmm. When I originally wanted to be a car designer, but I grew up on the East Coast.
Okay.
And so no one could tell me what that meant. And I think people said, oh, that's mechanical engineering. And it was only when I walked through the design studio at an architecture school that I realized that this is a creative design place. And so I became an architect. I practiced for a number of years and taught at the same time. So I've always had a foot in both worlds. I've done product development for buildings and looked at manufacturing for buildings, research, and now looking at leadership and management as it relates to design.
Okay. Talk a little bit, last question, about how technology has impacted the world of design. I mean, you've got virtual prototyping now. You've got all these 3D design software. What is that intersection like and where is it going?
This is one of the areas that I've always been involved in. I grew up in a small manufacturing shop as part of my family. So I've been doing CAD/CAM for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And the way that I always describe it is whether I'm running a robot or a crane or a computer, they're all extensions of me as a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And so technology is incredibly important to everything that we're doing these days, and that's why it's also really exciting for me to be at Lawrence Technological University, where we start to look at the crossover and the relationship between technology, design, the things that we're looking at, and the people that we're serving.
Okay. Thanks very much, Carl Dobman, Dean of the College of Architecture and Design at Lawrence Tech. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Thank you, sir.
Do you need a car?
No, I remember I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if it was president or what I should call you.
I will never be president of anything.
Okay, good. Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
Smart man these days.
Yes. Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and we're at the main event with the big pre-networking party before the NAIAS, a.k.a. the Detroit Auto Show, starts on Monday, at least for us, the press. And so we're all excited about seeing what sorts of great things are going to come out. But I am with here at the party, I'm with Robert McGee, the Executive Director of the Engineering Society of Detroit, and I want to welcome you.
Mike, thank you. Matt, it's always great to see you.
Oh, thank you.
So talk a little bit about ESD. What's happening? What's on the agenda for 2017 for ESD?
We have a very exciting agenda for 2017. January is our big month. We are the Michigan Regional Coordinator for the National Future City Program. Our competition is this month on January 23rd at Novi Collection, Suburban Collections in Novi.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that. We have 39 teams this year that will be competing for the Covenant title of the best in Michigan that will go on to compete at the national level in Washington, D.C. in February.
And that's a substantial increase in teams over last year, I know,
that
right?
That is correct.
Okay, that's good.
Very excited about that. We also are we're involved with, believe it or not, U.S. First. I'm on the advisory committee for the Conventions Bureau, and we're excited to bring their national conference, championship conference, here in 2018, 19, and 20.
Wow.
So I've been very instrumental in getting key engineers who were touched by FIRST Robotics in high school are as mentors now as working professionals to be a part of the governor's press conference that's this Thursday, which is January 12th at 2 o'clock at Cobo, and also his VIP reception. So we have 75 individuals that I have personally hand-selected from ESD and from my collaboration with other universities and my corporate members to create that list. So I'm very excited about that because they had never even considered Michigan before.
Wow.
So I know last year a big emphasis for ESD was establishing student chapters. Is that continuing? How's that going?
Absolutely, Matt. We are so excited about that. As a matter of fact, my Central Michigan student chapter is coming in this Thursday. I'm giving them a tour at Industry Day at the auto show. Denso is sponsoring that for me. I also am kicking off a student chapter in February at Western Michigan, also at Grand Valley, and at Ferris State.
Okay.
So what's that total then? What are we up to?
We'll be up to 16 when I get these three in. We will have covered the entire state. The only school I will have left to cover is Calvin College.
All right. And basically the intent of the student chapters is to essentially help those students find great engineering careers in Michigan, right? We're trying to fill the talent pipeline here.
We're definitely driving to a strong awareness of the opportunities that are available to them in Michigan and keep a strong pipeline of talent, ready now talent for them. I have a great relationship with the deans. We're starting to change their curriculum as to requirements for interns and co-ops so that the experiential learning is there when it's time to go into the workplace.
Okay.
What about in terms of recruiting a lot more students to engineering backgrounds, professions, whatnot? Do you think that's going to achieve that goal?
I believe it will. We're launching a new program, Mike, as a matter of fact, it's kicking off in January of 2017, this month, Girls in Engineering. And it's for underrepresented minority girls as well as other schools. But we're doing a partnership with DPS, and we're going to start with 30 girls. We're going to work with them through the regular school year every other Saturday. And all the facilitators for this program are either working professionals that are females or college students that are in engineering. But it will be a complete female-led program, and we will have a summer camp this summer for 4 weeks, starting the second week in July, going through the first week in August. And every year we will add 30 girls to this program.
Wow, that's incredible. I know that we've got some programs like STEM and ESTA program. We have Girls That Code. Are you going to be working with those folks too?
I actually had a meeting with DAPSET because they have a girls program, and I've also talked to Tanya at the Science Center. She has a girls program as well.
Right.
So we're trying to see if there are collaborative opportunities to bring these programs together.
Why don't we talk a little bit more about ESD now, although I'm sure most people have heard of it, some might not have, so this is where you get a chance to do your shameless plug.
Well, I'm always willing to do that because I'm so excited about who we are. 122-year-old society birthed here in Michigan. We have 125 affiliate societies that are affiliate with ESD. We have 3,100 members of ESD, and we have 150 corporate members at ESD. And we are unique. We are Michigan-centric. Michigan is the only place that we're concerned about, and we are all about keeping a strong pipeline of talent in engineering in Michigan. We're also unique in that we cover all disciplines of engineering.
And that's the place where an engineer, you know, an automotive engineer, a mechanical engineer might only talk to other mechanical engineers,
right?
But at ESD, you meet people from all sorts of fields.
You meet all disciplines of engineering. You will also talk to academia. You will also talk to skilled trade people. You'll talk to people on the architect design side. You talk to people that are in labor. You talk to people that are attorneys. So our society is very diverse in who is a membership because we want to look more and picture more like the workplace.
Okay. And if people want more information about ESD?
ESD.org on our website.
All right. Thanks very much, Robert McGee, Executive Director, The Engineering Society of Detroit. Don't forget the I always had to remember it. So
thank you, all Matt right. and Mike. It's always great to see you guys.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Robert. All right, Dave, this is with Mark Brucke. What's your official title?
Executive Director for Corporate and Community Partnerships at Lawrence Technological University.
Well, that's a hell of a handle. Did you get that on one business card?
Or for the purposes of this, we could say it's the Executive Director of the LTU Collaboratory.
Okay, that's what we'll work with.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So why don't you introduce him and then I'll come in.
Okay, our next guest is Mark Brucke from my employer, Lawrence Technological University. He's Executive Director of the LTU Collaboratory, which is an exciting project of LTU to sort of work with and incubate tech-based businesses in the Southfield area that basically can make use of LTU's STEM resources or STEAM resources. We can't forget architecture and design.
Steam, right?
Well, that's why we're here tonight at the main event. This is all about design, right?
Yes, we love arts. Yeah, Matt and I both being writers, so and not really science people per se. You know, we love the arts.
Uh-huh.
So, Mark, why don't you talk a little bit about what the Collaboratory does? This may be the first time anyone's ever heard of it. Although, not because of Matt, your communications guy.
I was going to say, because you have such a lousy PR guy. Okay, thanks a lot, pal.
So, the LTU Collaboratory really provides entrepreneurial support services for startups and small businesses focused on product design, engineering, prototyping, and manufacturing. We started the Collaboratory sometime around around 2013, so it's a few years old. We've run a program called Customer to Cash. We've had approximately 31 companies that we've served in that process. We've helped start about 15 companies out of that. We have about 19 full-time employees coming out of those companies, and those companies have had about $2.5 million of follow-on funding from the work that we've done with them.
That's excellent news, and I mean, talk about hands-on experience for LTU students, right?
Yes. So the way we use LTU students is we have students that have come through the program, our Customer to Cash program, and student entrepreneurs, and we also have had several faculty. But mainly, we've also had people, the companies have used students for interns and hired those students as well. So it's really a good opportunity for students to get involved with the collaboratory.
All right. And go ahead, Matt.
I just wanted to have you mention the sort of real estate purchase that LTU made about a year ago to sort of foster the collaboratory's work. We bought a building, essentially, right?
Absolutely. We bought the Mark Plaza, which is adjacent to Lawrence Tech's campus, on 7 acres. So that was consummated about a year ago. We'll have 11,000 square feet of space in that building dedicated to the LTU Business and Technology Accelerator that we hope to have open by this time next year. We have a great partner in the city of Southfield as far as the Southfield Smart Zone. And in November, the Southfield City Council graciously and unanimously authorized $1 million towards an EDA, U.S. Department of Commerce, Economic Development Administration cash match grant that we're going to be applying for to help build out that facility this year.
All right, and you just recently also hired a couple of people to work with the collaboratory and work with LTU's economic development efforts. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. We hired Ross Saunders, who was formerly the executive director of BizDumU, both in Cleveland and in Detroit, so he worked for the Dan Gilbert companies, and he was one of the first and founding executive directors of a business accelerator in Detroit back in 2007, so he has a lot of experience in this area, and he's been a great addition to Lawrence Tech and to the whole LTU Collaboratory event or initiative. And then we also just hired Lee Gorman, who is our new mentor in residence under the LTU Collaboratory, and this is an opportunity for she is funded by an MEDC gatekeeper grant. So it's putting the state's resources to good use to help entrepreneurs grow their business. And she's a Lawrence Tech alum.
Oh, that's great. That part I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. So where does it go after that? What's the thinking? What's your five-year plan here? I know you're not a Soviet collective here, but you're going to have a five-year plan, right?
Yes, so we will open up the LTU Business and Technology Accelerator with a focus, again, on providing entrepreneurs and small businesses resources that will help them with product design, engineering, prototyping, and manufacturing. And if you look around the entrepreneurial ecosystem for the state, there aren't too many organizations that really focus in on that those kinds of opportunities and services. And that's what Michigan and Detroit area is really known for. So we are tapping into an area that is underserved, but it's something that we're well known for. And we expect that the collaboratory and will move into the business accelerator with a strong track record of helping entrepreneurs really produce durable goods and really raise the level of manufacturing entrepreneurs in the state of Michigan.
So are they going to be able to make use of LTU's machine shop equipment, 3D printers, that kind of thing?
Yes, in a combination of the accelerator space, we'll have space that is available, that will have lab space that will have design, prototyping, and 3D 3D types of manufacturing equipment, but also we'll also be able to leverage the resources of the university. And the other good thing about this is that if companies are looking to do additional research for their products, we can look into the, inside the university as where those opportunities are, as well as if those companies are looking to hire interns, co-ops. We have an abundance of talent at the university. So it's really a nice mix of being able to access talent, access resources in the middle of Southfield.
I would also think this would be a great recruitment tool for future students, do you think?
Absolutely. The accelerator will feed the university, and the university will feed the accelerator. Ultimately, what we want to be able to have is when people have a problem that they want solved, we want them to look at Lawrence Technological University for that solution, whether it be in the academic side or the applied research side or the business and technology accelerator. Collectively, we'll be able to solve that solution, solve that problem.
All right. Thanks very much, Mark Brucke, Executive Director of the LTU Collaboratory. That's my employer. Somebody somewhere, please ring the shameless plug bell.
Ring.
Okay, right now this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Well, thank you.
This is Matt Rausch of Lawrence Technological University and the M Squared TechCast. I'm here right now with LTU President Varinder Motgill. We're at Main Event, which is the big auto industry kickoff celebration here at Orchestra Hall. Dr. Motgill, tell us a little bit about the awards LTU students are receiving tonight.
Well, these are the young students who have exceptional talent of designing cars and automobiles of the future. It's not only the design, the beauty, but it is also the inside that is efficient, sustainable, and is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the technology is trying to merge the design with efficiency and safety. And Lawrence Tech students have done it for over years, and they're being recognized tonight as well.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about Lawrence Tech's auto design program. I know Keith Nagara is the director of that automotive design program. How long have we had it? You know, what's been the experience of the university with this program?
Well, we had it over a dozen of years, but they have made exceptional talents and produced the leaders in the area. For example, the Ford GT, which was given the Best Car Award just 2 years ago, the team was led by a young graduate of Lawrence Tech from that transportation design program.
Okay.
And tonight we also present some of those students who are so talented that they design the cars that usually are attributed to very senior management architects and designers.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dr. Motgill from Lawrence Tech. This is Matt Rausch with the M Squared TechCast. Director of the Transportation Design Program at Lawrence Tech, and another main event is in the books. Congratulations.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. And tell me a little bit about Main Event. Why have this event? What's it for?
The inception of the Main Event was really inspired through conversations of automotive executives globally. And I remember the first year that we went out with students out at the Paris Auto Show, when they found out that we were from Detroit, they asked, why doesn't Detroit really celebrate its legacy and its future, being the automotive capital of the world? And yet we dismiss it because we live in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And so 2 years go by and we're back to the Paris Auto Show, the same conversation with different executives, and that was now in 2010. And so when I came back, I decided to reach out to companies, and overnight came up with a name, came up with an idea, a one-pager that went off to Peter Carmanos executives, and then they invited me in. And from there, basically, they sponsored the first event in 2011 at the CompuWare World Headquarters. Mm-hmm. And so the Main Event is an acronym, Motor City Auto Industry Night, to really celebrate not only the legacy, but more importantly, the people that are currently today making a difference, making innovations, and that are having an impact on the industry, as well as future generations of designers and engineers.
Yeah, I noticed the opening of the event is Lawrence Tech Student Awards, right, for great auto design.
Correct. So Ford Motor Company has partnered up with Lawrence Technological University to sponsor scholarships, because it's really designers that create the brands and the values that customers would pay for. And so because of the importance of design, Ford Motor Company sponsors scholarships, so the event opens up with Ford and the relationship, also historically even going back to the LTU roots with the Lawrence brothers.
One of the questions we had was, it's called Main Event 20. Why is that?
It really has to do with the domain name. So initially, when we first launched the event in 2011, the domain was 2011mainevent.com. And in 2012, I realized, wait a second, we got to increment. The website's going to move. So now, you know, it's going to start impacting the brand. Initially, when we created the idea behind Main Event, it was supposed to be a one-time event. And after people experiencing it, companies asked me if I was doing it again. I had no intention initially. And so basically it was through their support and contribution, along with Lawrence Tech, that basically came in and became sponsors. So then the name migrated. Instead of incrementing it every year to a different URL, I decided, well, what else could we do? And so we flipped the year to the back of the name. So it's Main Event 20, and then you'll see the year's increment. It's not really part of the logo, but we use it as, it's kind of an engineered and designed type of graphic. So it's just Main Event 20 is the domain name.
Let me also ask you, what you've been doing it since 2011, what have you been seeing? What's the evolution of the design since that time?
The evolution of design is really encompassing not only exteriors and interiors, but really more importantly of user experience and how user experience is impacting vehicles and customers in terms of their life. So vehicles today can tell you when they want an oil change. They know if it's connected to your schedule. If you're running late for an appointment, it automatically gives you an option to notify the person. So it's actually becoming an assistant. So there's a lot of artificial intelligence that's beginning to get embedded, and it's really going to come down to the execution of that artificial intelligence of how we interact and how the brand plays a role in it that will differentiate one company from another. So the evolution is really beginning to evolve, and it's virtual. It's no longer just physical, and that's really why it's such an exciting time in the automotive industry, or even being a designer, because no one really knows where the future is. It's sort of like the movie The Matrix, where everything's becoming very virtual.
And I imagine the scholarships are a big help to all the students as well, right?
Absolutely. One of the great things about our program that I hear from automotive executives all the time is the fact that our students come from middle-class families, and they see the diversity of ideas. When they go to visit other design schools, they see the similar type of ideas, similar types of graphics, just sketched out a little bit differently, but the ideas are all the same. And so when they come and walk through our design center, they tell me that the diversity of ideas is second to none. And for such a relatively new program, I mean, we've only had, about 8 graduating classes. So we haven't even had 10 years of graduates that are out there. We've already made an impact. Today you heard Phil Bouchard from Dassault Systems recognize Emilio Feliciano, which is one of our graduates. They gave him an award a couple of years ago, and he was one of the primary lead designers at FCA for the portal concept. Several years ago as well, Colin Bonathan, who is one of our graduates, designed the supercar, the Ford GT. So already we're having an impact without even our graduates going into management positions, just as designers, impacting not only the product but even the companies itself.
And I also heard mentioned that a lot of the students cite you as being very different from other instructors they've had. How so?
I guess I learned a lot from my father, where he encouraged me to do what I love to do. And I try to do the same thing with students. It's not really my decision to decide, even within design, what exact position that they should basically select or decide to do. And it's the same thing with their design projects. I really encourage them with actually asking them questions, it's having them answer the questions, because it's not about me, it's about them. And so I typically, spend time asking them questions to consider and then having them answer it. And sometimes they're so accustomed going through education that the format is the instructor stands in front of the room and they basically tell the students what to do. The students listen. And it's a cookie cutter template. And our education system has really been broken. And if you look at what's going on with STEM, it really comes down to, especially with STEM, there's a scientist, Alan Kay, and he talks about that some of the most influential scientists and mathematicians, their way of thinking is actually through visual. So scientists don't come up with equations. They actually come up with illustrations, which migrates into equations. So when you start thinking about that, why do we now teach students equations? Because they have a difficult time understanding it. So it's the same thing with design. I don't think any single person, such as myself or anyone else out there, has a single best answer. So it's always about asking questions and having conversations with one another.
All right. Thanks very much, Keith Nagara, Director of the Transportation Design Program at Lawrence Technological University. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Okay. Thank you.
M Squared.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.